our teaching this morning. We're going to take a detour this morning. I'm well aware that today is Pentecost Sunday, and usually on Pentecost Sunday we do teach on the person of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord led us in a different direction, or led me in a different direction this morning. So I'll encourage you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and direct your attention to chapter 5. And from chapter 5, I'm only going to read a few verses, beginning at verse 21 through 24. And since you have your Bibles and you do have it, would you please stand as we reverence the Word of God together? Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You may be seated. This morning, I want to teach on that little phrase, Enoch walked with God. And I'm going to title it simply, Walk With Me. Father in heaven, this morning, I just honor you in the preaching of your word. I honor you for this opportunity that you've given me, Lord, to open this word and to seek your face. May you now, Lord God, move through the preaching of this word. I pray, Lord God, that you begin now just to prepare the heart of your people, that their heart will be tender, so when the seed of your word will land, it will go deep down and bring forth more fruit. I just pray, Lord God, both for the hearing as well as the preaching of your word, even this morning, is in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving I pray. And the church say, amen. It was a long wait. But finally, the Democrats reclaimed the White House in a dramatic fashion when the then governor of Georgia, his name Jimmy Carter, defeated the incumbent president, Gerald Ford. And in January of 1977, rather, he took the oath of office and he became the 39th president of the United States. But while the Democrats were busy celebrating their return to the White House, William Martin Joel, known as Billy Joel, was also celebrating his return to the top 10 Billboard chart with a single that he had then in 1977, simply titled, Only the Good Die Young. While this music was met with a lot of controversy when it was first released, and the controversy was warranted because the lyrics of the music actually sounded anti-Catholic and anti-religion. And it was met with a lot of people did not like the lyrics of it. But while the lyrics might be distasteful, the title is actually catchy. And perhaps Billy Joel was actually reading his Bible, because this title actually describes the life of one unusual biblical hero. A man that was only described in less than 3 verses in the Bible. But it was a man that stood out. It was a man that we're told that was unique in his ways. And this man was Enoch. You know, in the age when Enoch was alive on this earth, men usually lived up to like 900 plus years. But at a tender age of 365 years old, the Lord took him. Again, at a tender age, because he was really a baby, 365, the Lord took him via a rapture, and it was not. And the Bible gives us a reason. He said the reason the Lord took him was because this man walked with God. In the reading of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews now kind of summarizes the life of Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11 around verse 5 said, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And he was not found because the Lord took him, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. This man, Enoch, was pleasing to God because he walked with God. And all of us know that it's in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when the Lord Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, that the Lord God actually spoke, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But here we read of a commentary of the life of Enoch, that Enoch too was pleasing to God. Now, you will say to yourself, Pastor Wally, I've read through the Bible, and those that seems their life were pleasing to God, they live longer life. Abraham lived to be an old man. David lived to be an old man. Moses lived to be an old man. Samuel lived to be an old man. Why would God now take this man at a tender age? I don't know why God took him at a tender age. But what I want to really focus on is the fact that he walked with God. And I believe that when we understand what it meant or what it means to walk with God, then we will be able to walk in a way that pleases God. Are you with me this morning? So let's take the profile of the life of this man called Enoch and begin now to ask ourselves the question, what does it truly mean that this man walked with God? Now, let me do what I call an etymological study for you. Let us look at the word walk in the Hebrew. The word actually in the Hebrew means, it's a word that's pronounced halak, H-A-L-A-K, halak. And in one sense, it means to have intimacy of fellowship with God. But you see, that intimacy and fellowship is the end product. It's not the process of working with God. Are you staying with me? In other words, there is a process and there is a result. The intimacy and fellowship is the result of a process. What then does it mean to actually walk with God? Let me give you a walking definition this morning. When we say we're walking with God, it is the willingness to completely and voluntarily surrender to the rule of God in your life. Let me repeat that. It is the willingness to completely and voluntarily surrender to the rule of God in your life. I want you to pay attention to two adverbs that are used right there. Completely and voluntarily. The word completely has to do that when we say we're walking with God, there must be an holistic surrender. A surrender of body, soul, and spirit. There must not be a form of compartmentalized surrender. Many of us like compartmentalized surrender because we don't want God to get into some of our business. So we keep God out of our love life. Watch out, Pastor Wally. We keep God out of those life that we want to make our own call. But when it comes to problem life, we let God get it. Lord, I'm broke. Fix it. Lord, don't mess me up with my boyfriend. But that is not what it means to walk with God. It's to have a complete surrender. But also the surrender must hinge on a genuine love for God. A willingness to love God without being compelled. The uniqueness of humanity is that we can love God without being compelled. That you willingly love Him, not just phileo love. You love Him with agape love. You love Him to the extent that you just don't sing it. You live it. And every time in church, I get frustrated. Because on one hand, we say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. On the other hand, you go do what you feel you want to do. But to love God is to keep His commandment.
No, let me work this out for you. Let me give you more a practical sense of what it means in that definition. Watch this. Number one, I believe working with God has to do with a persistent endeavor to hold your life open to God's inspection and in conformity with his will. Watch what it means. To persistently endeavor to say, Lord, search me and know me and see what's in me. That's what it means to walk with God. Lord, I want you to search me today. Perhaps there's something in me that I ain't seen, and I want you to make it known to me. You see, all of us should be able to pray like that, like David. Like, Lord, I have some resentment that I don't even know exists, but I want to walk with you like Enoch. I want to be pleasing to you. Lord God, daily search me, and God will bring out some of the junk that might be within you. Another practical way of working with God, understanding this definition, is that working with God has to do with the willingness to let go of whatever God said is wrong with you. You know, that's where we have a problem. Because when we say, Lord, search me, and he says, okay, you didn't forgive that person. Oh, boy. Lord, you just don't know what he did. No, it's not what he did. What you got to do. Because when you walk with God, you don't say, God, I rebuttal you. You say, God, you said, so be it. Working with God hasn't got to do with your right. Because many of us are intoxicated in our right-centered culture. Because every one of us want to claim our right, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment. But when it comes to God's kingdom, all you got is responsibility. So working with God has to do with the willingness for you to say, Lord, this is it. I yield. You tell me to change this. I ain't got no argument. I'm changing it. Also, working with God has to do with a daily meditation upon God. That is not something that Pastor Wally got to call you to do. It just comes to you every day. Let me ask you a question. What do you actually meditate on every day in your life? I shouldn't ask that question because that's a tricky question. I don't want some of you to tell me because I really don't want to know. But do you every day think about God? Does it come to you instinctively without even being told, without even knowing? Does it permeate your life? This is what it means in a practical aspect of that definition, that I walk with God in such a way that every day I just have a yearning. Like David said, like the deer panted after water, so my soul pants for you. That every day there is a yearning for God. There is a yearning for prayer. There is a yearning for Bible reading. That when I go on my radio, when I'm driving, I won't turn on WPGC. I won't listen to all those music that will mess my mind up. But I will listen to gospel music. I will look for something that will soothe my soul. What I need to tell you this morning, it's easier said than done. And I truly believe, I know what some of the Achilles heels of why many of us cannot walk with God in a way that's pleasing to God. And it's a twofold way. The first thing I believe is always our Achilles heels is the lack of knowledge of who God truly is. Let me table it to you like this. All of us as Christians, if you've been in a church for a minute, you know about God. You don't have to have read your Bible, but you know about God. And we know about him in terms of some of the things that what we're describing with. Some of us even know his name. But there is a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. The difference, the divide between knowing about God and knowing God is what I call, how do you live your life? I know God intellectually. I know him intellectually. I can teach you intellectual stuff about the nature of God. But that is knowing about God. Then knowing God is that, do I now translate that intellectual understanding to practicality? That is what it means to know God. Do you now let the word of God guide your daily step? Do you think Christ-likely or do you think world-likely? Are you God-centered or world-centered? You see, And I say this gently and tenderly. There's a lot of practical atheists in the church. What do you mean by practical atheist? You say a practical atheist believes or has an idea that there's a God, but he or she lives as if God does not exist. And all of this hinges on our knowledge of God. May I tend it to you this morning, that as believers in Jesus Christ, for us to please God, we must truly not only know about God, but we must translate what we know into behavior. We must translate it into behaviors of our life. Like when we got to go and turn on the TV and you're watching Empire. Pastor Wally, you just got something against Empire. Yes, I do. And it's your favorite show. Now, you got to ask yourself a question. Can Jesus just chill with me with a popcorn? And all of us watch all those stuff. And I give him my high five. Lord Jesus, you see that man kiss that man? Oh, whoo. Practicality of living for Christ. Many of us understand this in our head, but the practicality, are you guided by the principles of the Bible in your daily choice? Are you guided by the principle of the word? That is where many of us fall short when it comes to walking with God. We ain't guided by God's divine principle. We are guided by what we want to do. And many of us are so stubborn, no matter what the Bible says, we want to do it our way. Then when it falls up in our face, we go to God, why me? Why not you? Because you did it wrong. The second reason why we struggle with walking with God is because of the unwillingness to actually trust Him. Let me break it down to you. Trust is the foundation of every relationship. When trust is broken, that relationship is very, very unstable. If my beloved wife does not trust me, which I hope she does, amen, I need to put that out there. But supposing, hypothetically, that she does not trust me, then every time I go, she looks at myself. Everywhere I go, she figures out my speedometer, how much mileage that I go when I went to church. 22 miles and you went 55 miles. How many churches did you go to on your way home? Not that she does that, but in case she does decide to do that, I'll put it out there. Amen? But listen, this is what I'm saying. Watch out. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Watch, this is what I'm saying. Trust means a lot. Every relationship is built on trust. You got to trust the person you're with for you to be able to at least rely and depend upon them. But the problem we all have is this. We trust God for some things, but we don't trust God for all things. That is why we fumble in our faith. We fumble in our faith because we don't trust God in every aspect of our lives. My brothers and sisters, that is why we can't walk with God. Because by faith, God tells you go A or do A, but you don't trust God enough that the God that says you do A will provide for you, will sustain you, but you choose it to do your way because reality tells you that C might be the best option. But may I remind you, there's a difference between faith and reality, because that's why the Bible says we walk not by sight, but by faith. In other words, at times, reality will tell you something. But if God says, trust me, I will get you there. God will get you there. And the Bible tells us so many things to trust God about. But many of us fumble when it comes to that. We struggle because we can't just trust God enough that He will make a way. And I've talked to people that have even struggled to give to God. They so struck, Pastor, how am I going to make it? But I'm not going to make it for you. God said He will sustain you. He will make all grace abound to you. Why can't you just take Him at His word? And you wonder why you don't walk with God. Why it seems that you're not pleasing to God. Because you're not trusting Him enough. And God said, for you to know that you're walking with me, you're pleasing to me, for you to know that you can be like an Enoch that will walk with God, for you to know you can get the blessing that I bestowed on biblical figures, you got to trust me for who I am. That when I tell you to raise up your rod, that Red Sea will open. You believe me. But listen, Pastor Wally, enough of the bad news. I want to be a person who walks with God. How can I get to that point? Let me help you, give you some things that I believe would be an enabler to be able to catapult you to that place of pleasing God. Number one, I believe, for you to be able to say, I want to be pleasing to God, you must do what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of God dwell richly within you. Watch Colossians. I'm going to read it to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it said, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonition, admonishing one another with psalms, with hymns, spiritual song, singing with thanksgiving in your heart to God. What does it mean for the word of God to dwell within you richly? In other words, you got to take it every day and meditate upon it. Because the more you begin to meditate on the word of God, the more the notion of knowing God becomes easier to you. Because you're constantly confronted with the word of God. You constantly have a disciplined life of scripture reading. You constantly have a calendar of how you go through scripture. Let me ask you something. How many of you have been through scripture in a year? How many of you have dedicated yourself to say, you know what, I'm going to go through this scripture in 1 year. I want to get to know God better. What the word of God does is that once we put it in our body, it becomes life within us. When we put it in our body, it gains its own life. It begins to give us the grace to begin to make decisions that are wise. So when you want to do something, the Spirit of God within you will bring that word into your head. When you want to sleep in your tongue, the Spirit of God will teach you the necessity of buffeting your tongue. When you want to act of character, the Spirit of God will remind you whose you are and who you are. It's because you've deposited in your body the word of God. That is why, to me, I believe if you open a child to the word of God, no matter how small they are, those words become seed in their life. And over time, you begin to see they grow up. They begin to act right. Why are they acting right? Because they understand that there is a word in them. And that word, though he has been planted so they might have strayed, the word will still keep them in where God wants them to be. And for us as adults, those are the things we need to major in order to be pleasing to God. Spend time, and I say to you every time, they got Bibles in MP3. They got Bibles on CDs. They got Bibles on iPhone. They got Bible on Android. They got Bible on all this stuff. Why can't we all in this church be scholars when it comes to the word? That you can chew it up every day. And that's what Paul is saying. Let the word of God dwell richly within you. That's why David said, thy word have I hidden in my heart so as not to sin. You want to know how to defeat temptation? The word of God I've hidden in my heart so that when temptation comes, I can say no to temptation and yes to God. But my brothers, attended to you this morning. You can't walk with God unless you know his word in your person. Second way I believe can catapult your ability to please God and walk in his word is the willingness to be filled with the Spirit. Watch what I said, the willingness. Let me break this apart. Let me break this down for you. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit the moment you come to salvation. The Holy Spirit, you don't need to tarry on your knees, by the way. You don't need to speak in tongues, by the way. You are baptized into the body of Christ at the moment of conversion, and the Holy Spirit now takes residence within you. It dwells in you. That is one thing. That is a one-time event. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is an event that can be repeated over and over again. It has to do with your willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, to take preeminence over your thinking, your preeminence over your word, to allow the Holy Spirit to fill your body. That's why Paul could tell us, don't be filled with wine or be filled with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And once you look at the book of Acts, every single time they are being filled with the Spirit. And when the Spirit fills them, there is a prayer life that goes stronger. When the Spirit fills them, there is a way that they live that is unique. And my brothers and sisters, Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must be open to the Holy Spirit to fill us every single day. And part of your prayer should be this. Let me lay this down to you, please. Let me, to your loved ones. Part of your daily prayer should be this. Spirit of the living God, buffet my mouth today. Spirit of the living God, buffet my eyes today. Spirit of the living God, buffet my ears today. Spirit of the living God, buffet my heart today. Every morning you get up, you surrender the body, your mind, every part of your being to the Holy Spirit. That is when you become filled. And the Holy Spirit says, well, you've given me the opportunity, you've given me the allowance, I'm going to step in. I'm going to buffet your mouth so that when you want to lose it, you're going to hush your mouth. I'm going to buffet your ears so that when you hear some stuff, it's going to move in your mind in a different way. But that's why the Bible cautions us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The reason is that you can grieve the Holy Spirit because of what you say out of your mouth. You can quench the Holy Spirit because of your rebellion against His word. But as believers, to be able to be like Enoch, to walk with God, you must be willing to say, Lord, listen, Holy Spirit, take control. I don't know how to get through this morning. Help me. I'm going for an interview. I think I got it all together. But Holy Spirit, you know what they're going to ask me. Give me utterance that some things they ask me that I might forget, bring it back to my mind. Holy Spirit, fill me for this interview. Holy Spirit, fill me for this teaching. Holy Spirit, fill me for this preaching. Holy Spirit, fill me. In everything you do, you ask Him, He's there for you. That is the reason God gave Him to you, to help you in your weakness. The reason you ain't tapping into Him is because you don't want to. You want to do it yourself, and you can't succeed. Finally, walking with God will require for you to let go and let God. Pastor Wally, what do you mean by that? You got to release, surrender, and let God be the one to lead the way. You know, the problem, and I reiterate it these days, all of us hold on too much to stuff, and we don't want to release it to the power of God. We hold on to stuff for so long. From pain, we hold on to pain. We hold on to anger. We hold on to this. We hold on to that. Some of us hold on to money. Some of us hold on to this. We hold on to that lifestyle. And God is saying, listen, I got to fix you. But you're holding on too much. And you know what? The God ain't going to pry your hand and get it by force. You got to be willing to release it to God. And that's what it means, that you got to let go. You got to say, Lord God, I let go now. Lord God, I let go of all my ambition. I let go of all this pain. I let go of all this thing. I lay at your holy feet. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, which is my reasonable service. And I'm no longer holding on to all this stuff. I'm letting go. And God will say, thank you for letting go. I will be the driver of your vehicle. I don't know about you. You don't want me driving your vehicle. I pray that you don't tell Pastor Wally to lead you. Well, I can lead you because God is leading me. But you want God to be the driver of your vehicle. You want God to be the one that is leading you, that is guiding you, that is teaching you, that is directing your life. When God does that, you can never go wrong. When you say, God, I surrender my rebellious child, I surrender my husband that is wayward, looking at every woman at every corner, I surrender him to you. Or you say, I surrender my girlfriend who is a gold digger. I got to say that, by the way. But he says, oh, I surrender to you. God is not going to move in all those stuff. The Holy Spirit is going to move, and before you know it, He's going to turn your midnight into day. Yeah. Pastor Wally, what does this mean to me? God wants to walk with you. Like God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, God wants to walk with you. But how can two walk together unless they agree? You cannot walk with God if you don't think like God and act like God. You better be thinking like Him, acting like Him, living like Him, then the two will walk together. Let us pray. My Father, my God, even this morning I give you praise, I give you glory, and I give you honor for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you because you are the God that invites us to come and walk with you. You invite us to suck with you. Lord Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. That if anybody hears my voice, let him open, I will come in. And Lord Jesus, I begin to pray for grace for everyone that's hearing me this morning. Someone came in this morning struggling, but they're struggling because they're holding on too much for this stuff. Give them the grace this morning to let it go and let God take care of it. Some people are struggling because the Holy Spirit is not filling their lives. The Holy Spirit is not taking preeminence over everything they do. Give them the willingness to see a Holy Spirit now begin to take hold. But Lord, I pray that the Word of God will become a daily appetite in every one of us. We begin to take of it every single day. That we love this word of yours because you said to us that this word is forever established in heaven. That all of us come to love this word because the more we know this word, the more we know the God who is the author of this word. And Lord, I pray for everyone under my voice, no matter the struggle, this morning may they find their peace in Jesus. No matter what they've been doing, this morning, oh God, as you're inviting them to walk with you, let them leave all those things behind and hand in hand begin to walk with their master. And they know that when they walk with Jesus, there is no demon in hell that can do nothing to them because they're safe and secured in the hands of the master. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. And just amen.